the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, two of my favorite New Testament books are 1 and 2 Peter, and there is so much encouragement in these books about Christians having a true and lasting hope in the risen Savior Jesus Christ, Jesus who conquered death in an incorruptible, glorified body. It gives us the assurance that our salvation and past, present, future has permanence and will not fade away. Well, with that, I want to welcome you to this very special edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper here. And, you know, Bert, the world is about to turn the page, another day on the calendar, good Lord willing, another year before us. And as you and I do the program today, I want to put five words out there, and we'll talk about this in light of God's Word. But here are some words that I think maybe it characterizes a lot of people on the eve of a new year. And Bert, you tell me if I'm getting close here. These five words near the beginning of a new year, the closing of the past year. Okay, here are my words: reflection, encouragement, inspiration, motivation, and action. What do you think about that as we start a new year, Bert?
Okay, it is. I would say so. And we do need to be motivated in our year. Two actions after we've inspired and we're impressed with it, and we reflect on what's happening. I think that's a good term. So in 2026, yes, let's do that, Alex. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that got AFA, the difference that it made in a lot of organization, was action. Part of our you know, mission statement is not just to inform, not just to educate, but to activate. And the activation is what kind of makes others stand up and look. So if you're having all four without the last action, then I think it's coming a little bit short of what we should be doing. So five great words.
Well, you know, let's talk for just a moment about reflection. I mean, it seems like to me that just so much happens at blinding speed. I mean, so many things that are going on. You know, in 2025, there was a new pope that got appointed, and the previous pope had been very liberal, and I'm not sure the new one is all that much better. Of course, in 2025, we saw a number of tragedies, the shooting of Charlie Kirk. Just shortly before Christmas, there was a terrible shooting in Australia. 15 Jewish people were killed, and there were a number of shootings at colleges and schools. And so on the one hand, I mean, there's no shortage of bad news, right? But here, part of the beautiful thing about being a born-again Christian and really a citizen of Christ's kingdom is that regardless of the world, you know, the Bible says as we near the return of Christ, evil men will wax worse and worse. But for the Christian, our home in heaven is a certainty, and we have duties here on earth because we are missionaries. Every born-again believer is an ambassador for Christ as long as we're down here in this world. And, you know, Bert, I know this world is fading away, and 1 John 2 says, love not the world. And obviously we're not to be, you know, loyal to this world to some unhealthy degree. But life is precious. I love America. I love history. I love church history. But there comes a time when you just realize this world is fading away and there's a new world coming. And as a Christian, no matter the state of the world, the circumstances we find ourselves in, where we are in the journey, we are down here on mission for Christ, doing things with eternal implications. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And the beautiful thing about it, and I think New Year's is a great time to just revisit this and plant our flag here. We are victorious in a world that is transient and falling away. Bert, I'll say this, and I'll throw it back to you. I've done a lot of ministry. In fact, when I was in seminary, I, for 3 years, was on the Senior Saints ministry, and I was in my late 20s. And I've done a lot of ministry with older people, and sometimes there's regret, and there's just maybe even a lot of kind of remorse for what dreams didn't come true, what, you know, things didn't pan out. But I want to say we need to just be encouraged that we are victorious in Jesus. And it doesn't matter what you accomplish by the world standard. If you miss what God says is important, you've missed. However, on the flip side, if you maximize on the truths of God's word, the promises of our Lord, if you prioritize what God says is the priority, it doesn't matter where the world went. You've done the right thing if you've built your life on God, His truth, and His kingdom.
As you were talking, I could not help but think reflection won't do a lot of good without renewal. In other words, when we reflect, and those things that you went over about 2025 and the death of some very great people, Dr. Dobson. I mean, I remember when Ronald Reagan, our president, when he had to step down, I wonder, oh me, what's going to happen now? Because for 8 years when Ronald Reagan was president, those of us who knew the Lord, you know, we felt secure in what his response would be, you know, to things. I thought he was very consistent. And when Dr. Dobson passed away, I thought, okay, here's a great giant that has been around for decades. I started in 1977, and, you know, this is where it took place. But we renew ourselves, and that's what Romans talks about, renewing of your mind. So as you reflect in of what's taken place, not just in 2025, but years in your past, in your life, you renew yourself in following the Lord. And this is what it is, because we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. So with reflection comes renewal. And this is what we've talked about on Exploring the Word a lot, revival, renewal, awakening. And so 2026, I do still believe God can do it. Will He? Honestly, I don't know. I hope so. I think we'll see some, but as you know, it's like it was the best of times and the worst of times.
Yeah.
I think that may be the case as those of us that are Christians go forth. We're going to go forth in strength in 2026 and following. I'm renewed for that after I reflect on the past, Alex.
Well, you know, so much goes on, and, you know, reflecting, Phil Robertson died in 2025. A great Baptist leader who was quite an apologist, Vody Baucham, passed away. But here's another one. Brace yourself, John MacArthur.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
I mean,
it was.
Bert, as long as I have been a believer, John MacArthur has been quite a Christian leader. And I've owned some of his books, and I'm sure everybody listening has heard him on the radio. It's hard to believe. I remember a decade ago, one of my friends and definitely a mentor, Charles Colson, died. And I couldn't hardly believe in a Christian America without Chuck Colson. And yet he would have been the first to say, stand up straight and keep on going, Alex. You know?
Yep.
And Bert, I'll put it this way. I think part of Christian maturity is continuing on with undiminished enthusiasm, even in the absence of beloved leaders.
Well, let me just share. There was Moses, but then came Joshua. There was Elijah. But let me tell you, then came Elisha, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Here was John the Baptist, but guess who he was the forerunner for? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we trust him no matter the times in which we live. no matter. That's the whole idea. And so we're praying that 2026 will be a year that you who are listening will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never known him as your Savior, we're praying that right now you'd start this new year right by saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin because you died on the cross for me and rose again, overcoming sin and death. And I'm repenting and turning away from my way, and I'm turning to you, asking you to come into my life, forgiving me my sin, and being Lord of my life. Man, what a way to start off 2026, Alex.
Amen. Hey, let me read a scripture from 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 2 through 4 as we praise God for his faithfulness in the past 12 months. We anticipate walking with the Lord every day of the new year. But 2 Peter, and I love 1 and 2 Peter, but it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Isn't that amazing? We're called to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, there's a lot there. We could do an hour plus of teaching on that, but the grace of God extended to us, the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the blessings of God, life and godliness. Bert, isn't it something, you know, when we think of blessings, very often we think of material things, but according to Scripture, a great, great blessing is godliness.
Amen.
You know?
Yes.
The character of righteousness. And I'll tell you, I think I did 6 funerals this year, Bert, maybe 7, but I know I did 6. And one thing about life, when you leave this world, folks, who you are in Christ is all that matters. Am I right, Bert?
You are right. Now, how does this godliness come about? In verse 3, it makes it his divine power. It's not you. We will never make it on our own. It is impossible. And we don't sit back in this godliness and say, okay, here am I. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to strive. I'm not going to do my diligence. But we cooperate. We place ourselves into God's hands. And as he directs our paths, as he's our handler. Have you ever heard of that, Alex? You know, the guy that's taking somebody in, they may be in show business, they may be a sports person, but they're handling them. We call them manager, and he directs them and negotiates and everything. We need to let God handle our affairs his way as we trust him. And so that's what we're asking. And so I love that, what you said. Notice, exceedingly great and precious promises. Not just precious, but exceedingly great. I want to share with you, we're going to study more and get you ready for 2026 in this new year as we continue studying God's Word here on Exploring the Word at American Family Radio. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. As we go, let us make disciples.
As we go, let us tell the world of Christ.
Well, Happy New Year, 2026, and I'm hoping everything's going good. And we hope you had a good Christmas. We hope your family were together. And we're in 2 Peter here on Exploring the Word on this day. And Alex, it talks about here where we opened up in 2 Peter chapter 1. It said something about escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yeah, that's good, but it's not enough about what you don't do. Notice what he starts doing in verse 5. He said, given all diligence, add. Now, we'll fill in the blanks a little bit later, but given all diligence, add. In other words, God saves you as you are. He really does. But praise God, he doesn't leave us that way. He wants us to mature and grow, doesn't he?
Well, you know, that's the difference, Bert. It really is. And I think about in our 15-year journey together, you and I, we've taught through this a couple of times, but this list is so vitally important where it says, I'll begin in verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Bert, I look at these attributes or these character traits or these the equity of the soul. You know, I mean, this is what's valuable. I think about it, virtue, which is purity and righteousness, and then knowledge, which, and by the way, I looked up this word virtue, which really means pure living, and then knowledge, and I think knowledge is to see the life from the perspective of God's Word.
And Alex, let me just throw this in real quickly and remember where you are.
Yeah.
Notice, when I first read this, why is there a sequence to this? I think there is, at least in the first two. If you add knowledge to your faith, the possibility of being puffed up, arrogant, knowing all may be a part. But if you have virtue, pure life thinking, in other words, pure life is not just actions. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You catch the tie-in there. Then all these others, that's the reason faith, virtue. And as Paul said in Corinthians earlier on, he wrote and he says, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the old is past, the new has come. And so that virtue, starting out with it, listen, I think that is a key. In my opinion, if you don't have this virtue, your knowledge will be distorted and all these others will be cut short. But I wanted to throw that in. Continue on, brother.
Well, I think that is wonderful. And, you know, the beautiful thing about it, I like this. See, it's a lifelong pursuit of these things. Bert, you and I have talked about many times, Christianity is an event and it's a journey. I mean, there's the event, there's that moment that you put your faith in Christ. Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my life. The Bible calls it being born again. But then there is this lifelong journey, this pursuit of growing in the Lord. Now, here's a word, folks, that we use sometimes. It's a biblical word, sanctification. And, Bert, let's talk for just a minute because about sanctification. But when I see this list in 2 Peter 1, you know, 5 through 8, about, you know, growing in righteousness, growing in knowledge, and then what does this breed within us? Temperance or self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And let me just tell you, in evangelism, you might think it's your knowledge or, you know, present, explain, defend the faith. I will tell you, one of the most potent tools as you are a witness for Christ is kindness. And then, and only the Holy Spirit can really work this in you. But Bert, if you would, tell us, because you've pastored for so many years, God has used you and Jan so mightily, and I mean that with all my heart. I just have such respect for you. Bert, what is sanctification?
Okay, it's you being set apart to be more and more like Jesus Christ. They were first called Christians. Where? In Antioch. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they were followers of Christ. Honestly, sanctification, you get down to it, Alex, I'm following Christ. I am becoming, you know, if you spend, have you noticed in marriage, Janet, you mentioned Jan and I in some ways are so different, but as we've grown older together, there's some things we're more alike than we ever were, and a lot of it's because spending this time together. If you can spend your time with Christ, listen, in His Word, praying, serving Him, I really do believe you will become sanctified, set apart, being more and more like Christ. But we've got to remember, it's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, Alex, Bert Harper, in me dwelleth no good thing, you know? And it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, working His way into my everyday life. You know, that's putting it in my words, and I took a long time to say it, but I believe it is becoming more and more like Christ.
Well, I agree. And folks, if there's a goal or, I kind of hate to use the word New Year's resolution because it's almost like they're ignored or abandoned before the new year even gets here. By you know, the afternoon of January 1st, I think we start to forget our New Year's resolutions probably. But if there is a priority that you want to prayerfully commit to for the new year, it would be sanctification. And this 2 Peter is talking about this, but, you know, it's continually being set apart. That's kind of the word, what it means, holy or set apart. And I don't mean in some, you know, sense of being up on a moral high horse, but it's like you said, Bert, we're going to be more and more like Jesus. And there are, if you take seriously the call to sanctification, and there are many, many verses that speak about, you know, be ye holy, for God is holy, and that we are to be sanctified and set apart. There's got to be the Word of God, Scripture. There's got to be prayer. And Bert, I think as we read the Word and as we walk with the Lord and as we're communing with God, we're praying, we're able to hear the Holy Spirit. And Bert, wouldn't it be fair to say sanctification, it's the Spirit-directed life, isn't it?
Amen, Alex. It is. And this is where it comes. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me.
John 10:14.
Exactly. So what do? You spend time with Him, you'll recognize His voice. This morning that I was listening to the radio, guess what, AFR, and I was listening to Family Talk. Now, this is a pre-recorded before 2026, but we turned on the radio to hear Family Talk. I knew Dr. Dobson's voice, but he had a guest. And as soon as I heard it, I said to Jan, that's Chuck Colson. Why? I knew his voice. It was a recording that Dr. Dobson and Chuck Colson had done. They're both in heaven right now. But I recognized his voice. I'd heard him speak so many times that I knew his voice. When you spend time with the Lord, Alex, I do believe you'll start recognizing his voice. And so you follow him. And notice there's a word that is repeated just two times in chapter one, but I think it's part of what we've been talking about, and that is sanctification. Notice these words in verse 8, given all diligence. Now, when you come to verse 10, it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Alex, we don't sit on the sideline and say, okay, God, I'm just sitting here, an old clump of clay, moment, you know. No, you're actively involved in giving yourself. I heard this, and you see what you think about it. When the offering, the sacrifice, was being offered in the temple in the Old Testament, they had what they call flesh hooks. And what it would do is that offering, lamb, was on the altar. They would have these flesh hooks to help them hold them in place so they would not slip off of the table, okay? In our lives, I know this is an illustration, and people may not appreciate it. I do. I can picture it. Have you ever heard, I place myself on God's altar? Well, I do. But guess what? I need some flesh hooks to hold me on that altar. And what it is, I think, is what we've been just going over concerning adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. You know, Alex, those things need to be a part of our lives, and they help us in that walk with the Lord in sanctification, don't they?
They do. You know, that's a pretty graphic picture, but let's be honest. You know, there's that old song. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love.
Yes, we are.
That's from this old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Bert, I had never heard that before, but those flesh hooks to keep us on the altar, yeah, we need it, you know. And so we're talking about, as the new year dawns upon us, to recommit ourselves to the things that matter most. Bert, I've never ever had somebody express regret for walking with Jesus, for serving Jesus, for obeying the Word. And I will say, you know, the word disciple is akin to the word discipline, you know. There are many things that require discipline to achieve, like, you know, learning a musical instrument or earning a degree or, you know, joining a gym and working out. Right now, even as we speak, a big fad sweeping the country is pickleball. You know, Bert, are you familiar with pickleball?
I'm familiar. I've not played it. I've seen others play it.
Yeah, I've played. It's kind of fun. It's, you know, very, very similar to tennis. One thing that's, you know, kind of cool about the pickleball fad is, and I didn't realize this, it's been around since the 60s, but a lot of, you know, people of all ages and older people play it. It's great. Getting, you know, a lot of exercise no matter what your age is. But to get good at anything, you got to practice and you got to commit. Well, it's the same way with your Christian growth. Salvation is a free gift. You put your faith in Jesus, you accept it. But I will tell you, to grow in the Lord, to grow in the knowledge of the Bible, that takes work and commitment. Now, getting saved, Jesus did that work for us, and we receive it. But growing in the Lord. And, Bert, I've told this story many times, but Pat Robertson, and he died several years ago, the founder of CBN Christian Broadcasting. I went to hear him. He was on a speaking tour back in the 80s, and I was a young believer. And somebody asked the question, why does it seem like some people are closer to God than others? Pat Robertson said, well, because some people are willing to invest the time to pursue God. They get up early, they pray and meet the Lord before they rush into their day, he said. They spend hours and hours in the Word. And he said, everybody can grow in God as much as they want to or as much as they commit to. And he said, God is not a respecter of persons. And Peter writes that. But, you know, some people make the commitment to pursue God. And I want to share something else that I heard from Elmer Towns. But Bert, in your experience, do you think that's true? Some people might seem closer to God than others because they made the commitment to invest in their walk with God.
It is true, Alex. There's just no way to grow into maturity except with time. Have you ever heard this old phrase, you spell love, T-I-M-E? Well, I think you do spell maturity with in Christ, T-I-M-E. You spend time with him. But let me just share with you, another part of this time is that of serving others. You know, now, not by itself, but when you combine all these things, combine your reading of the Word, studying of His Word, meditating on His Word, praying. Yes, put aside a time to pray, but also do not cease from praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually all through the day. And then serving others. That's what Jesus, I came not to be served, but what? I came to serve. And He was pleasing the Father. And so by if you can combine those two things, if all you're doing, if you possibly can, if you study and then you pray, but you're not serving, you're missing out on what God's plan. Now, there comes some time, and I've seen it in people's lives. As they've lived their lives and they get to a certain age, certain disabilities come in their way. They don't have the time to serve the way they normally did. I knew this man, and he was a Sunday school teacher. He is a deacon serving, but physically, mentally, it began to decline. But he said, I'm not going to sit on the sideline. And he could write letters. He couldn't talk well, but he could write. So he would write letters of encouragement to others because he found out he could do that even when he couldn't teach. So find that area that God wants you to serve and minister with prayer and Bible study. Alex, I just want to tell you, you will change your world. Others will be affected by it, but your world will be changed because you're following Him. And we're asking to stay tuned because we're going to finish up and talk about the challenge of 2026. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Now, back to the Bible study. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. On behalf of Bert and myself and everybody at AFR, we do wish you just a happy and blessed new year. As we get into 2026, should the good Lord give us another day, we wish you God's best in all things and every blessing. And we're throwing out a little bit of a challenge, and Bert and I, we want to take this challenge ourselves, and Brent Austin as well, that we want to be the best we can be for Jesus Christ in the new year. We want to grow in the Lord, love the Lord, serve our families, and make a mark for the gospel. And Bert, that's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, Christian birth, Christian growth, Christian service. And, you know, 2 Peter 1 says if we do these things, we will not be barren or unfruitful. This is 2 Peter 1:8. Hey, we want to bear fruit and glory and extend the boundaries of God's kingdom for His name, don't we?
Amen, Alex. And, you know, I'm looking for words that are used more than once. As you go on down, I've already talked about diligence just twice, but they're important. And another one was, you know, inferred when he talked about, I'm not going to be negligent. That means he's going to be
diligent. Verse 12.
Yeah. But notice what occurs in verse 12, verse 13, and verse 15. Therefore, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir up you by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must be put my tent. In other words, he's going to die, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Verse 15, moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Now, Alex, honestly, that's kind of what we're doing here on this first program in 2026, is reminding each one of us, including Alex and myself, what we need to be. When it's not what we need to do first, it's what we need to, who we need to be. And after we become who we should be in Christ, guess what we'll do? We will do, and not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. But Alex, it's what we are being and what we're becoming. And here, I think Peter does a great job of reminding me and you, and now everyone who is hearing, about who we should be in this sanctification and discipleship of following Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I always, Angie and I kind of spend January the 1st. We do a lot of prayer, you know, as and usually people have New Year's Day off, but a lot of times Angie and I will get together, and there have been sometimes we'll spend a couple of hours just sitting at the kitchen table, and we write down things, and we pray, and we try to set some spiritual goals. You know, Bert, earlier in the program I was talking about, you know, athletics and, you know, practicing a sport or practicing a musical instrument. And I think we need to set goals for ourselves spiritually. And let me just throw a challenge out there to maybe set some spiritual goals. If for a number of years you and I have challenged people to read the Bible in a year, and I'm not saying this to put a guilt trip on anybody, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Christian growth is not just passive. I think we need to be intentional about it. And maybe, you know, and we always say this, you know, read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday. You'll read the Bible in a year. And it'll only take you 15 or 20 minutes a day, and you'll traverse the entire Word of God in a year. Maybe you want to try that. Or pray. And Angie and I, very often, we have tried to set some goals in our giving. We've tried to set some goals in our church involvement. And, you know, the being a traveling evangelist, to stay plugged into the local church, for Angie and I, it's really taken some intentionality. But we love it because we know that is a part of being a disciple. And Bert, you know me. I am not a legalist. I'm not legalistic. I really don't think that. But I believe this is just one of our core values, that being a part of a local church, it is part of the disciples' to-do list. Am I right? Can we camp out on this a minute?
You sure can. And yes, what do you get there at a local church? You should get some accountability of being there, and you can be a part. I heard this from Chuck Swindoll first, years and years ago, and he was at a, quote, mega church. And I remember him saying, said, those of you who are out there in the congregation listening, if you just want to attend this church, that's good. But if you're not going to get involved in a small group, a Bible study group, a ministering group, a choir, whatever it is, then what will happen when you need ministering too, and if you just come to be a part of the larger group, you'll miss out on this ministry of people being able to minister to you, because you're missing on ministering with them, Alex. And that's what takes place usually in a small group. You know, a Sunday school. Notice what Jesus, yes, there's 500 or more that were following him, but he called 12 out to be apostles. And then notice what he'd do even from the apostles. He called 3 again and again to be with Peter, James, and John. They're with him on several occasions. You know what? You know, with them close up and personal. So there's this accountability, there's this fellowship, there's this ministry. You have a lot of energy by yourself, but you put it combined with others, it's amplified and compounded. So, yes, Amen. That's what you get in a local church and a small group setting, Alex, with all my heart. It's for your benefit that you do this.
we're talking about 2 Peter and the new year. Folks, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about, you know, reflection, encouragement, inspiration, motivation, and I hope we're all getting motivated. I feel the Holy Spirit motivating me, but then action. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures, and of course, 2 Peter talks very much about the end times, and it says, in the last days, scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, folks, Jesus is coming. He really is. And 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is very patient. But, verse 10 of 2 Peter 3, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You think about this, Bert. 6,000 years of human history, the works in this world, everything from the writings of Shakespeare to the pyramids of Egypt to television, you know, all this great life's rich tapestry, it's going to be burned up, really. The works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? By the way, the way the King James renders the word conversation, it really means your lifestyle.
Yeah, the New King James says in holy conduct. Your conduct.
Your conduct. I like that. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. What I'm saying is, as we start a new year, we close the books on the last year. And should God grant us another day, we ought to ponder the life we're living in light of the certainty of Christ's return.
We should. Amen. Preach it, brother. Let me make this, and then you continue. This is just a great observation when you said that. Verse 11, therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Do you remember chapter 1, verse 3? As the divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Peter starts with godliness. He ends with godliness. In this book, Alex, which is what? Discipleship and sanctification, isn't it?
It is. 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Isn't that something? And look, we're down here. You and me, we love the Andy Griffith Show, you know? You and I have had a lot of avocations and things that we talk about. Baseball, the Beach Boys, old cars, you know, it's great. All that stuff. We've got our hobbies. Bert, I don't know if I've asked you this. Do you fish? You ever go fishing?
I did with my boys. I don't do it by myself as much. I always enjoyed my grandsons too. I do it with them.
I've got a nephew, Max Alexander, and he's about 21 now, and he's a wonderful, wonderful Christian young man, and he loves to go fishing, and he's really good at it. In fact, he's gotten quite good at trout fishing, which is kind of an art form in itself, at Max Alexander. And I've gotten back into fishing a little bit, that in my childhood we did a ton of fishing. All those things are great. We've all got our hobbies, the stuff we like to do, and I think God's okay with that, you know. But we got to keep it in mind. There's this old saying, major on the majors. And the major thing is to know Jesus, to grow in Jesus. Don't major on the minors. By that, I mean the transient things they don't count for anything. And they're going to be gone. But what does matter is Jesus Christ. Now, Bert, let me say this, and I know time fleets away, but one of my professors in seminary and in graduate school was Dr. Elmer Towns. And he's well into his 90s now. And I was up at Liberty University the other day, and people still talk about Dr. Towns. He was the academic dean for 40 years. And did you ever have him speak you were past?
I did not, no.
But I'm sure you're familiar with him.
I am, yes. Read his books and familiar with him.
He wrote a book that is out of print, I think. It'd be worth finding it, folks, but it's called Understanding the Deeper Life. And I remember Dr. Towns used to talk about how some Christians are carriers of revival. And he said, you know, when we think about, the cold or the flu, you know, that's not good to be contagious on that. But Dr. Towns would say, look, some Christians become a carrier of the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as you walk with the Lord, as you get sanctified, you grow in Jesus, you become contagious for the presence of God. And in his book, Understanding the Deeper Life, he gave some examples of that, and past and present. I think to become contagious for the gospel, contagious for revival, that's a good contagion to aspire to, isn't it?
It really is. And guess what? It started out, and I pointed out in chapter 1, he said, do your diligence. Guess what he ends up with, Alex, in verse 14? Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless.
Amen.
Isn't Peter talking about discipleship, staying with him? And I think he's a great example, because he had that possibility of when Jesus was being arrested, he denied Christ, and he says, man, no, don't deny, but be diligent. Be diligent to do what? Found by him in peace. And so, again, I think that's the message in part of what we're saying in 2026, that we're challenging myself, and I think you're challenging yourself, to be diligent in these things. It's not going to be happening by let's just taking it easy, you know, surfing and just waiting. No, we get out there, we pray, we seek the Lord, we diligently read his word, we serve him and obey him. And Alex, as we do that, I think what it talks about, we're going to be one that is following Christ and become that follower of Christ that he means for us to be. And I think it will redound, according to verse 18. I'm sure you were getting there.
I love verse 18.
I'll read it, and you can take us out in it. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Now, why are we doing this diligence? Why are we reminding ourselves? Why are we seeking him? For his glory and his honor, isn't it?
Amen. You know, Bert, I think one of the reasons I love the Apostle Peter is because he was not without his missteps, you know.
Yeah.
Peter had hardship and persecution, but even some personal failures to overcome, you know. But God is very patient with us. We all have feet of clay. We don't always do everything right. And certainly Peter, you know, sometimes spoke out of school, but God loved him, God used him, and God loves you, friend. God wants to use you. In 2 Peter, we've got these truths, we've got reassurance, we've got encouragement within suffering, we've got motivation in light of Christ's coming. Bert, I got a friend, Herb McCarthy, and he's probably listening. He's in Wilmington, North Carolina. He spent many, many years working for the Billy Graham Ministry, and he was a great man of God. And even in retirement, is serving the Lord valiantly. But he would talk about how Billy Graham had just one priority. That was to make the world know of Jesus. And when Jesus and his kingdom and the Great Commission is our priority, every day is a good day, isn't it?
It is a good day. And we're praying that all of you who are listening will have a great 2026. We anticipate God doing great things in your life, and conforming you and me to the very image of Jesus Christ. Alex, let's be more like Christ in 2026 than we were in 2025.
With his help and for his glory, we will. God bless you. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord bless you in all things.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.